Saturday, July 31st, 2010, episode number 1 at the Buckscast featuring Dakota, Ty, Nick, and Chuck.
Let's get this one. Robinson, step back three. Yes, Hall. Yes, Doggy. Robinson, Doggy. He's an all-star. Doggy.
By Warren. Jennings takes it away. Stucky around the back. Yes, Brandon Jennings. Oh, my goodness gracious. This place is up for grabs.
Gotta go.
Williams, three.
Now he's going to extend the defense.
Delfino says, Petrus, I'll see you later. My goodness.
Now what do you like about it?
Hogan knocks it out of there. Oh. And Jennings takes it. Look at this. Oh. Ilya Sova on the scene once again. Shot clock down to five. Oh, what a bucket. What a bucket. A 13-0 run, Carlos Delfino. Prior to that, what a...
This one is in the bank and earning interest for the Milwaukee Bucks. They are going to the Eastern Conference Finals, and the celebration is underway.
With the first pick in the 2005 NBA draft, the Milwaukee Bucks select Andrew Bogut from Australia and the University of Utah.
Ray Allen looking up.
Wow.
Gets a great look at it. Oh! Ray Allen ties it with 5/10 of a second remaining. What a finish here in Milwaukee.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Buckscast, episode number 1. Hello, I'm your host, Sikor Schmidt. Alongside with me are my other hosts, Chuck Schilling, Nick Traver, and Ty Redman. We're going to start out the show by introducing ourselves. We'll start out with Chuck. He's going to talk about when he became a Bucks fan, favorite current slash all-time player. So, Chuck, go.
Okay, I've been a Bucks fan pretty much my whole life. Got it from my dad. My dad's a huge sports fan, you know, kind of father-son bonding type thing. So pretty much, I don't know, 8, 9 years old when I started getting into sports. Favorite current Buck is definitely Andrew Bogut. I've loved him since he was a rookie. Really come on the last couple years, his work ethic and his defense. I'm a huge fan of defense in basketball, much more than offense. And even though he wasn't a great defender when he was with the Bucks, my favorite all-time Bucks probably Ray Allen. I don't know why, I've just always had a special spot for him.
Okay, then we're gonna go to Nick McIver. Nick.
Hey, I've been a Bucks fan my whole life, like Chuck, and I started watching probably in the late '90s when I started to understand basketball with the Todd Day and Vin Baker days. And my favorite book is probably Brandon Jennings, even though I want to say Andrew Bogut, but I just like the excitement Jennings brings to this team, the swagger. I just think he brings a new level to what the book's been missing for the past few years. And my favorite all-time book is probably Big Dog Glenn Robinson. Probably not the most popular book from the, in his years here, but yeah. Glenn Robinson.
Okay, and then we're gonna go to Ty Redman from Australia. Ty.
So yeah, followed the Bucks for probably about 10 years now. So we don't get a lot of NBA on TV here. So followed the Bucks, and then obviously liked Ray Allen and the big 3 days, and then Bogut landed to the team, and it seemed like it was a bit pretty much destiny. So. Probably Bogut's my probably all-time favorite Buck, but my probably current favorite would probably be Brandon Jennings at the moment. Like Nick said, love his swagger and just his attitude. So
Okay. Yeah. I became a Bucks fan like Chuck and Nick. I grew up in the state of Wisconsin. Fan of all the Wisconsin teams, the Packers, Brewers, you know, Badgers, Bucks, whatever. I just grew up with Wisconsin sports. My favorite current player, kind of odd, but it's Ersan Ilyasova. He just does everything that basketball fan loves. He can shoot threes. He has hustle. He can play defense. He has heart. He's just a great player. Not the best player, but he's a great player in my heart. My all-time favorite Buck is Ray Allen. I grew up with him, and I just love the way he plays. His shots technique was just a beautiful. Still is. But back then, I think he was a top 10 player. You know, back in 2000, we should have been in the NBA Finals in the 2001. I'm still mad about that. I can thank everybody in this conference. Still mad about that, but that's us. These are your hosts for the Bucks Cast. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, off-season time. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bucks Cast. Right now, we're going to talk the off-season in a review. We're going to start out with the trade that happened the day before the NBA draft, which was the Corey Maggette trade that sent Charlie Belt and Dan Yetterich to Golden State for Corey Maggette and the 44th overall pick. We're going to start out with Chuck on his opinions of the Corey Maggette trade.
Okay, Corey Maggette, you know, no matter what you think about him as a player, he fills a need the Bucks had getting to the line, and we really did not give up a lot of anything. Obviously, Dan Gadzarich and Charlie Bell last year were both back of the rotation guys. Dan Gadzarich didn't even dress for more than half the games. I don't know the exact numbers, but we more or less gave up nothing. We took on a little more money over the next 3 years, but more or less gave up nothing for something that was a huge need for us. So I think it was a pretty solid trade. No matter what, I agree with everything Chuck said.
McGetty feels a
big need. The Bucks needed
to fill this offseason. Someone who could get to the line, a slasher, an athletic player that the Bucks didn't have last year. And like Chuck said, we didn't give up much for him. Bell and Gazzarich, who were just two useless space on the Bucks bench. So you pretty much filled a big need and without giving up too much for him. So I'm real happy about the trade.
Okay, now let's go with the tie.
Yeah, look, I agree with the other guys. I seem to like the deal from the salary point of view. I mean, I guess it's a bit more money to take on over 3 years, but his deal expires from the year which Jennings will get an extension, if we give him an extension. So that kind of works out pretty well. Only other concern, I guess, would be chemistry issues, how he fits in with Skiles, but I'll trust Hammond on this one for now.
Alrighty, my opinions on this trade was the fact that I like it. Other than for his contract, which we haven't talked about, I love this trade. I think he's going to be a six-man on the team. Behind, I think Delfino's going to start at the three. We'll talk about that later on near the start of the season. But I'm thinking he's going to be on the bench, be a nice six-man. But I really like the trade. He has a lot of athleticism, which we needed. He can get to the line, which we needed. You've seen that in the playoffs, of course, which was horrible in terms of, you know, getting to the line. We had great D, but everything else just kind of was bland a lot of times during the playoffs. But I really like the trade. And next, we're going to move on to the NBA draft. With the 15th pick, we picked Larry Sanders, a power forward out of VCU. Chuck, what's your opinion on this young power forward?
Yeah, as the draft came up, I knew the Bucks. I had heard through the grapevine that the Bucks were pretty high on him as a pick. The only other guys that were really targeted, you know, that I know people amongst the Bucks community, there was the possibility of Luke Babbitt. A lot of people were high on him, and possibly James Anderson. I personally was not a big Luke Babbitt fan, so I thought this was a great pick. What he's shown in Summer League, he's shown probably more than I ever expected. I knew he was raw. He's only been playing basketball a few years, but his body's big. He's long. He can obviously put on some more weight, and he looks like he has the potential to be the real deal. It's just a matter now, is he willing to get in the gym, listen to the coaches, and work and, you know, take that next step down the road?
But Chuck, you watched a lot of Summer League, and were you impressed with what you saw of Larry Sanders?
I was extremely impressed, more so with his offense than his defense, because I thought he was going to be pretty rough on the offensive side, and he actually had a really nice touch on his shot. There were a couple turnaround jump shots, one or two of those that looked really smooth. He had a couple threes. It was impressive.
Yeah,
and
I remember.
He was everywhere. Everywhere rebounding and blocking shots. He should have had probably another one or two blocks per game average in the Summer League.
Yeah, I think it was the Dallas game where he had a leaning three-pointer at like around the buzzer.
I think one of those. He hit two actually in the last 35 seconds to pull us from down six to tie it.
Yeah, but it's Nick, what do you think about Larry Sanders?
Yes, I'm here. I like Nick? Larry Sanders. When the draft happened, I was hoping that Xavier Henry or Patrick Patterson would fall to the Bucks. But when they were chosen above him, Sanders was the best player available. And after seeing him in the Summer League, I'm kind of happy that they did. He's a athletic, long forward/center player that the Bucks needed to play alongside Jennings, someone who could block shots, could rebound for future years to come. Yeah, so I like it.
All Okay, Ty, what do you think about Larry Sanders?
Yeah, look, I was pretty happy with it. When I saw Luke Babbitt drop, I thought we might pick him. But, look, I'm happy with the deal. I guess I don't get to see a lot of college basketball or except really highlights and stuff over here. So, look, what I've seen, and you know, from highlight clips and what I've seen from Summer League, I'm pretty excited. He looks like he's going to be a good defensive player, and he's got, you know, promising offensive potential as well. So, happy overall.
Okay, everybody seems impressed with what we've seen from Larry Sanders, but we picked Darrington Hofstra with the 37th overall pick. Of course, he was not in the NBA Summer League due to injury, but we're still going to talk about him. Chuck, what do you think about Darrington Hobson?
As far as NBA prospect, I'm just going to have to trust Hammond on this one. He's somewhat earned that that respect from me. At the same time, you know, we haven't seen him yet, but his college numbers looked good. He's one of the few college players I didn't see at all, but you know, I'm excited by the prospect. They say he's got good handles. He's got some decent size, so we'll see what we got. Hopefully,
Chuck said,
we'll see that in the preseason.
I didn't see him that much in college. I haven't seen him at all play when he was in college at all. So I don't know too much about him, but from what I hear about him, is he's a forward who could dribble the ball with point guard skills, so he could be a point forward in the NBA. So those skills intrigued me a lot. I was disappointed that we didn't get to see him in the summer league so we could see what kind of skills he have. But like Chuck said also, I trust Hammond with every decision he makes with this team. So I feel good about the pick, even though I haven't seen him play. But I'm excited to see what type of player he could become with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay, Ty, what's your thoughts on Darrington Hobson?
Yeah, look, I guess I haven't seen him play at all in any capacity, so only looking at kind of scouting reports and that type of thing. Look, it would be interesting to see what impact he has and how he fits in, but I guess, like the others, I'll trust Hammond on this one. Point of interest was his kind of journey to get this far. It looks like he's worked really hard and had to kind of put in a lot of effort to get here, which I think will fit well with his kind of work ethic with the rest of the team.
Yeah, of course, he played with a small school in New Mexico, and he did post up a pretty good stats in college. I don't have them in front of me, but he had a really nice stats in college, really don't touch, but he's going to be a project, of course. I believe he's like only 22, is it? 21, so very good at the D-League. With the next guy we're going to talk about, but it's just a wait-and-see kind of approach with these second-round picks. And next up is the 35th Jerome Jordan. We're going to talk about that. He got traded to the Knicks for cash, unfortunately. But with the 47th pick, we got the ever-slow Tiny Gallen, Oklahoma. Chuck, your thoughts on Tiny Gallen?
Yeah, you know, I felt it on draft night. I still feel the same way. I think Tiny is going to be best served with a year in the D League. He's definitely got size, old. He's got a lot of talent, but he has not shown that he's necessarily ready for the NBA yet. I think my biggest fear is he'll fall in love with the 3-point shot rather than taking advantage of the fact that he's a big guy and he can bang down low. Hopefully he can put in the work and dedication to be there. That's my only concern with him. He's definitely got a lot of talent.
Yeah, and there's also some JS Online article about him maybe getting released, not being able to make the 15-man roster. If that's so, then since the four-way Matt answer, maybe Europe. I just want to see this guy play in 2 to 3 years when he is about to reach his full potential. I just don't want to give up on this guy.
Well, like Chuck said,
Nick, what's your thought on Oklahoma?
I just fear that he's gonna fall in love with the jump shot, with the 3-pointers, and that he could find his way on the bench or out the league in the future. But I see him. He needs to develop more of his post skills because that's where he's gonna get most of his production in, but right now his skills are kind of raw, but you see the potential, but he just needs to work on his power forward skills more to be NBA ready.
You seen some summer league games, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
What's your thought on Tony Gallen?
Look, I like the pick in terms of, I guess, a bit of a higher risk, but you know, potentially high reward pick. But look, I from what I saw and looking at his statistics, look, he rebounded well, but that was about it, really. Lots of turnovers, pretty poor shooting percentages on some nights. So I don't think he's NBA ready at this point. Whether we should keep him on the roster, I'm not too sure. I think maybe we should, you know, probably rather than sending him to the D League, I'd probably prefer to send him to Europe, only because it worked really well for Jennings. And I think sending Tiny to Europe would be good in terms of, I guess, maybe helping him mature as a person a bit more as well. You kind of watch his Twitter feed and you kind of, you know, he doesn't sound as mature or come across as mature as Jennings did. But yeah, I think Tiny, maybe a year in Europe and then see how he progresses and bring him back again would be beneficial.
Well, I think being in the D League can mature him because, you know, you're living in hotel room after hotel room, you know, crappy hotel rooms that's having to ride on playing the NBA. I'm allowed to, you know, be down in the D League moving on his game. But going to Europe would be fine for Tony Gallen. And next, we're going to talk about the free agent period. They got everybody raging, rambling, whatever. But we're not going to talk about Miami, LeBron, Wade. We're going to talk about Drew Gooden, who signed a 5-year, $32 million contract, fully guaranteed. Chuck, what's your opinion on Drew Gooden?
You know, I think at first I thought they overpaid for him quite a bit. It was the first free agency signing of the entire offseason for, you know, not just for the Bucks, but for all teams. We broke the seal on free agency. And in hindsight, it's not nearly as bad as I worried because you got guys like Darko getting 5 years or 4 years 20, Amir Johnson getting 5 years 34, Hakeem Warwick at 4 years 20. I think Channing Frye got 5 years 30 million. And out of all those guys, I'd rather have Gooden at 5 years 32. You know, he's only 29. Yeah, he's going to be on the back end of his career by the time that contract ends, but you know what? By then, hopefully he's a backup sitting on the bench, you know, giving us spot minutes, and it won't matter as much.
Mm-hmm. And other names to add on, you know, overpaid list is, of course, Bo Althaw with the Nets, and maybe Wesley Matthews with the Portland Trail Blazers, but this is here for maybe a potential lockout, so they're just trying to get what they're trying to do something to put the best team on court.
Like
we're gonna
Chuck
go
said it when I first heard it, I thought they overpaid for him. And I still kind of do feel that way, but once you look at how the market played out, this free agency, you see that he the Bucks pretty much paid a fair value for him. And I was even though I was mad about the price, I was still happy because the Bucks went out, addressed the need they needed this offseason, a power forward to go alongside Bogut, took a rebound and hit the mid-range shot, and someone who could block shots, and Drew Gooden fits all that. He's a great role player for this team, someone that can run with Brandon Jennings, which he didn't have last year with at the power forward position, and with Drew Gooden, he could fit in a lot of needs the Bucks needed last year at that position, and I'm real excited to see him in a Bucks uni this season to see what he could do alongside Bogut.
Okay, Ty, what's your thoughts on Drew Gooden?
Look, I didn't like the deal at first either. I'm pretty sure when I first, it was morning here when I saw that we had signed him. I first saw Drew Gooden, you know, signed 5 years, $32 million, and I was like, stupid team. And then I realized it was Milwaukee. So that was, Yeah, interesting. But look, in hindsight, after all the other deals that have come out, I'd much rather Drew Gooden than Amir Johnson for that price. And you compare his deal to, say, what Richard Jefferson got 4 years, $38 million. He looks like a bargain now, and I think he's going to be that consistent power forward backup center we need over the next couple of years while Sanders develops.
Okay, and next we're going to talk with the backup point guard for Brandon Jennings this upcoming year, Keon Dooling. Chuck, what's your thoughts on Keon Dooling?
I think it's a great fit. He was obviously, if we weren't going to be able to retain Ridnour, who obviously had his bird rights as a free agent, after that all we had was our biannual exception, so we could only offer someone the $2.08 million roughly. And basically out of all our choices, he was the best fit. He's got a good three-point shot. He's got some size. He can play good defense. And really, I'm assuming he keeps up his career numbers, no injury and all that. I think I'm more comfortable with him as a backup than Ridenhour. And I love what Ridenhour gave us last year, but Ridenhour was in a contract year. His style of play was, I don't want to say the same as Jennings, but it was similar. They're both smaller guys who were pretty quick and get on the run and all that. So I think it'll be nice to have a little bigger, someone who can D up a little bit and still hit a three-point shot at a good rate.
Most definitely. Nick, what's your thought on Keon Dooling?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, Jesus Christ.
I like the sign of Keon Dooling.
What's your thoughts on Keon
Dooling,
Nick?
Sign Luke Ridenhour. Keon Dooling was the best available backup point guard that we could assign. He's someone who could hit the three-point shot, like Chuck said. He's a little bigger than Ridenhour, and that's something we could use as a backup point guard because you don't want two small point guards on your team. He could handle the ball very nicely and protect the ball. I like the sign a lot.
Okay, I'm on top on Mr. Keon Dooling.
Yeah, well, look, ideally, the type of point guard the Bucks were looking for, I guess from my perspective, was, obviously athletic, a bit taller, a bit stronger, good outside shooter, good defender, and Dooling ticks all those boxes. So it's a really good deal, good value for money. He's not going to get a great deal of minutes, but he's, going to be a good veteran presence and can back up the shooting guard spot as well if need be. So I think it's a fantastic signing for us.
I most definitely agree with you guys. He's going to play, of course, with the second unit and with the core of CDR and Maggette playing with Dooling. Maggette and CDR can, push in the paint and kick it out to Dooling, and make a nice three-point shot. We don't need, a Luke Ridenhour type anymore. Brandon Jennings is the key to the future. We just need a nice, solid backup point guard around him, and we're going to get that with Keon Dooling. I like this signing very much. And that wraps up free agency. But we did some trading this offseason. Of course, we talked about the Maggette trade before, but next is CDR. We got CDR in trade with the New Jersey Nets. Chuck, what's your thought on Chris Douglas-Roberts?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. What's your thought on Chris Douglas-Roberts?
Okay. What we gave up? We gave up a second-round pick, pretty much gave up nothing. And, he wanted to come play to a winner. I know he asked for permission to seek out a trade with New Jersey, and he picked teams that he thought would be a good fit for him. He wanted to come here, and that to me was the most exciting thing about Chris Douglas-Roberts. Not anything he's going to do on the court, just that it's a sign of the times that Milwaukee is becoming a more desirable place to play, and that right there is huge. So that's what excites me most about Chris Douglas-Roberts.
Okay, Nick, what's your thought in the CDR trade?
I love the trade. He's someone who could be a solid backup shooting guard, someone who could get to the line, who could hit the mid-range shot, someone who could excite the crowd with athletic dunks. We didn't have that on the bench last year, all we had was Charlie Bell, and CDR compared to Charlie Bell is a major upgrade. And I like his positive attitude after the trade. He loves when he got traded. He loved the trade. He's saying so many positive things about his work ethic. He's training every day, so I'm really excited to see how he plays this year, and I think he's going to be even more improved than he was with New Jersey. So,
okay, Ty, what's your thought on Chris Douglas-Roberts?
This has probably been my favorite pickup of the offseason for the Bucks, to be honest. Very little cost involved. He wants to play here. He's got a lot of potential on both ends, really. He could turn out to be a really good pickup. And if it doesn't pay off, it's really only a second round pick, which, you know, we've got quite a few in the next couple of seasons from earlier trades. So I like the deal. It's probably, probably number one for the offseason for me.
I'm really a big fan of the trade. Of course, he tweeted FTD, FTD. He was the one that broke the story, pretty much. Everybody was wondering what that meant. Of course, it meant Fear the Deer. And he's an athletic wing that we needed. A guy, of course, gets in line with me. And he's, of course, he's, I think he's like 23, 24 around there. He can still grow as a player. He's still trying to grow as a shooter. He can play a little bit of defense. And I just really like the move. Another trade that happened a little while back ago was John Brockman. We got John Brockman in a trade that sent Darnell Jackson and a second rounder to Sacramento. Chuck, what's your thought on John Brockman?
Once again, we had an extra second over the three drafts. We had all these extra second round picks, and now at this point, we're back down to our normal one second round pick the next few years. But we're pretty much giving up nothing. Guy had the highest offensive rebounding rate in the last year. Obviously, limited minutes coming off the bench, but this guy is pure hustle. He's going to fit in Milwaukee. We're a very blue-collar town here, and I think he's going to instantly become a fan favorite here, and we're going to love him. He's going, and I think he'll enjoy playing it here. He's going to enjoy the crowds and the fans.
And, of course, he has a Squad 6 perfect nickname in the Brockness Monster.
Yes, we will. I'm looking forward to that next year.
Okay, Nick, what's your thought on the Brockness Monster?
Well, I liked the trade. When I first heard about it, I was like, okay, but the more I keep hearing about this guy, he seems someone who could bring in instant energy off the bench, who could come in back up the power forward or center position. I hear he gets rebounds at a high rate, like Chuck was saying, and that's something we could really use off the bench next season. And I just love the trade for just adding more depth to the bench for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Ty, what's your thought on John Brockman?
I love this deal as well. Once again, didn't cost us much. He's a fairly young guy. He's athletic. He bangs down low. He hits the boards. He seems like he can defend pretty well. I think he's especially if we're back in the playoffs, he's going to be valuable. He can come in with that energy, grab some boards, give out a couple of hard fouls, kind of change the shape of the game in kind of 5 or 10 minutes. So that and, having probably the best nickname in the NBA at the moment, he's already a favorite of mine.
Okay, my thoughts are, I love this trade. Darnell Jackson was not going to do anything with the Bucks. We don't know what to expect out of a second-round pick. And what we get with John Brockman, it's just a heart hustle. We'll kill anybody for a rebound. Just love this guy. He can play some minutes at the 5, at the 4. He's 6'9". He just plays D like an animal when it comes to rebounding. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to finish off with the top of the box, and we're going to do some other general NBA talk. So.
Excitement talk. So who's gonna win it?
The Bucks.
Straight from the Central Division, the team that's wishing, running and dishing, the Bucks on a mission. Cassell and Ray hold it down in the back, while Big Dog and Tim round out the attack. It's the Bucks, talented and tough, what's up? The team from Milwaukee's about to erupt. We got the alley-oop flip away, hyping it up. The Bucks 2000, lighting it up. Ray Allen,
light it up, light it up.
My man Big Dog,
light it up, light it up.
Thomas,
light it up, light it up.
So who's gonna win it?
The Bucks, the
Bucks. Sam Cassell,
light it up, light it up.
And the Tractor,
light it up, light it up.
Danny Manning,
light it up, light it up.
Who's gonna win it?
The Bucks, the Bucks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the BucksCast, and we're going to start out this segment by talking about an end to an era, as they say. JS Online posted an article stating that Mark Red's career with the Bucks is basically over, and we're going to give our thoughts on what it means and what our thoughts are of Mark Red's career. We're going to start out with Chuck.
You know, he had his career for the Bucks. Obviously, he's always going to be controversial, mixed opinions on him. Some people love him, some people hate him, some people are indifferent. But for the most part, it seems people either love or hate him. I haven't really thought of him as a Buck for the last two seasons. And at this point, I'm ready to rebuild Jennings, Bogut, move into the future. I'm not even thinking about Mike Red going forward. It's farewell, good luck.
Yeah, Nick, what's your thought on the end of my career?
I don't know where the road is going to lead. All I know.
Okay, Ty, what's your thought on the end of Mike Red?
Good riddance.
good.
No, look, he was. I liked him, you know, the first couple of years where I was really starting to play the Bucks, but I guess you kind of could see that he wasn't, you know, putting in a lot of effort on the defensive end. He wasn't a good leader. It seemed a bit selfish at times, so I'm much happier. Don't want players to stop injuries, but injuries, you know, end their careers. But I'm happy for the Bucks.
All right, everybody's thoughts about Mike Red. The song is about ending, but my thoughts are good riddance. You know, good riddance. We're gonna end the music right now. It's a new era, folks. This team's looking bright. The Mike Red era. Was bad, okay? We were bad. We were a bunch of chuckers with the likes of, sorry Chuck, but with the likes of Mo Williams, Charlie Villanueva, Yijian Lian, they're all gone. We're not gonna have Tony Kukoc back. It's a new era, folks. This is a 50-win team we have right here, even without Mike Red. Okay, NBA TV, okay, ESPN, we don't need Mike Red anymore. He's gone. It's over. Alright, Mike Red, we had some good times together, but it's over, folks. It's over. Mike Red era is over. Of course, we have to talk about this. This is a Bucks show, which is an NBA show. The Miami Thrace, D-Wade, LeBron, Bosh, Chuck, your opinion.
You know, I think the way it went down, I think LeBron really kind of screwed over his fans in Cleveland. I'd be pretty upset if, say, Aaron Rodgers, for an example, for a Wisconsin athlete, did that. Had a big hoopla TV show and all that. Thought it was pretty disrespectful to the fans. He could have went about his business in a slightly better way.
As far as the teams, I think the big three, they have done a pretty decent job of filling out their depth, but they're all going to log a lot of minutes. So I worry about how they're going to hold up over the course of the season, through the playoffs when it gets more physical. If anyone goes down without an injury, they don't really have a lot of depth to play behind them. They're all-star players, and obviously Dwayne Wade and LeBron James are two of the top five players in the game right now. How are they going to work as chemistry-wise? So there's a lot of questions. I'm not ready to hand them the trophy just yet like some people are. I want to see how it plays out on the court.
Nick, what's your thought on Miami Thrice? Hey guys, I guess you're surprising my voice. I was experiencing some difficulties during the editing portion of the show, and you could not hear Nick's opinion on the big three. I'm sorry, but in the meantime, here's some music, and after music, back to the show. So I'm sorry, guys. Hope you're enjoying the program.
The concert. The light at the concert. The party at the concert. The music at the concert. And the crowd that sings with me. And the crowd that sings with me. And the crowd that sings with me.
Okay, Ty, what's your thoughts on the big three in Miami?
Well, like the others have said, the decision, the whole TV program was pretty disgusting. I guess just in terms of cultural differences, if a professional athlete did anything like that in Australia, they would get absolutely crucified in the media, 10 times worse than what I've read so far. And I imagine that they're former teammates would beat the crap out of them next time they played against each other. But regardless of that, look, Miami, look, they'll be good. How good, it's hard to say. I think the Bucks are going to match up reasonably well because our two positions of strength at the point guard and center are their two positions of weakness. So it'll be interesting to see how we go against them. Not saying that we will necessarily beat them or anything like that, but I think we do match up better than some other teams. But and I guess another big question mark over that Miami team is whether their current coach is, you know, a championship caliber coach or not, and whether Pat Riley will step in the near future.
I personally think that Eric Spoelstra is going to coach, but I think Pat Riley is going to use him as a puppet, perhaps. My opinion on this Big Three, the decision, Jim Gray asking LeBron if he still bites his fingernails. It's all crap. I really don't care. Let's just wait till the season starts. Don't crown anybody yet. Let's not crown the Lakers. Let's not crown the Heat. Just wait, folks. It's July. This is ridiculous. All this stuff's ridiculous. You know, LeBron, it's just like Scottie Pippen. He's overrated, folks. yeah, that's pretty much what I had to say about the big three, the Heat, LeBron, etc. And we're going to talk about Mr. David. Dare I say it, David. I'm sorry, folks. I think I busted somebody's eardrums out. I'll pay for your doctor bill. I'll pay for your doctor bill, but Chuck, what's your thoughts on David Kahn's moves so far?
I'd like to give you some thoughts, but I really don't know what's going on. Last year, he drafted Flynn, Rubio, Lawson. He signed Ramon Sessions. Now Rubio's still in Spain. Flynn broke his hip because he fell down the stairs or something. Like, we don't even know what happened. Ramon Sessions, he traded off for pennies on the dollar. Signed Luke Ridnour. He has a thing for backup point guards from Milwaukee. I really don't know what his plan is. I've seen a few Minnesota Timberwolves fans try to convince me that he actually has a plan. I'm not sold. If that was my team, I'd be pretty furious. Actually, I'd probably be beyond furious. I'd probably be at the point where I'm just flat out depressed because their team is not going anywhere anytime soon, unfortunately. And it's just puzzling beyond anything else.
Okay, next, what's your thought on David Kahn?
David Kahn, I don't know what he's doing past years, pretty much the rest of NBA nation around the world and the US forever.
What is he doing? He drafted two point guards last year, Lawson, Rubio, and Flynn. He traded pretty much the best one out of the three, Ty Lawson. And Rubio is saying, I don't think he's ever going to play with Minnesota.
And his ability to show that much, I don't think he's much of a trying offensive player, which is the offensive career in Minnesota, but what's he doing? He drafted three small forwards, Wesley Johnson, Hayward, and some Russian guy camping out, but they got all those guys and
I don't understand, they got the game, dark go, a ridiculous contract, you know, I just don't get it, I just really don't get what David Chan is trying to do, but he's the mind behind the organization, so I guess Minnesota fans have to trust him.
Do some plug here, Chuck, do you have anything to plug? You know, just want to plug the upcoming Bucks season, Squad 6, I'm a member, we're going to be out in audition soon, so anyone in the Milwaukee area, watch for that, you can always find me on Twitter, Chuckle Love, post on Real GM under the same. And that's about it. Can't wait to see a lot of you either in Squad 6 down at the Red Center or just in the seats. Stop by, say hi, and it's going to be one hell of a season.
Nick, do you have anything to plug? Okay, Ty, you have anything to plug?
Look up on Twitter, Melbourne Bucks, or Google Melbourne Bucks fans, and check out the blog, and get some of the Australian-based or primarily Melbourne-based supporters to get together and watch some games and share the experience, kind of like a quasi-Squad 6 kind of... experience, which is not obviously going to be in the stadium, but at least we can
get together and watch some games and have a few beers. So if you're interested, hit me up on Twitter or comment on Logan, and we'll go from there.
Okay, you can email the show. The email, of course, is buckscast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm pretty annoying on Twitter, but if you want to follow me, it's Dakota_Schmidt. That is Dakota_Schmidt. So I'll pretty much wrap up everything for the episode number one of the Buckscast. We're going to come to you next week around this time. So, till then, folks, fear the deer.